Children know what they like, and adults very often have communication problems with children because adults think they know what children like. And sometimes this is a mistake because this is projection. You project your own personality onto other people. It's what human beings naturally, unfortunately, do. And they think that you see this everywhere, most especially with older people, where older people will buy for younger people what older people think is a good thing, but the perspective of the younger people is very different. Little Johnny wants a video game, but the grandmother will get him a jumper. That will be this big disconnect there with what it is that people think that people need. And adults make this mistake all the time, thinking they know what children need when children are. There's a phrase in English, to be left to your own devices. And what this means is what you will do when nobody tells you what to do. That's what it means, what you will do. Now, if you leave children to their own devices, they will very often be very happy because they get to decide how much time they spend doing certain activities, and they're very happy doing that. And in that kind of situation, the role of the adult is simply to provide a relatively safe environment and, make sure the children has, make sure that the child has food and sleep and all the basic necessities taken care of. And it's at a deeper level, there's a great paranoia that adults have that if they don't force children to do certain activities, that these activities won't happen, which is completely wrong. Now, there are some classic examples of this. Now, of course, you want to guide your children in the right direction and away from bad elements, or at least explain to them that bad elements exist. In fact, there's a method of thinking, which is that you want to expose your children to bad elements so that they understand what they are. Fire burns, right? Water is dangerous. Yeah. So you want to expose your children to a certain extent to that. And there's a great adult fear that children won't learn the good things unless they're taught the good things. My response to that is that adults make more mistakes than children. Therefore, because for the children, it's not really a mistake, it's an experiment. And adults have this idea that children won't learn to read unless they are taught how to read. History actually teaches us that this is wrong. The main motivation for children to read is not to be taught to read, it is to see the parents reading. That is the main motivation for children to read, is to see parents reading. Yeah. The child will see you reading an email or reading a web page or reading a book or reading a newspaper, and they will become interested and want to do the same activity. That is the main motivation. The same is true with writing. Children are motivated to write if they see their parents writing. If they don't see their parents writing, they're not motivated to write. And if you go into a school and you look at how children are developing in a school, the children who are good at writing have parents who write a lot. The children who are good at reading have parents who read a lot. It's what is taken from one environment into the other. Same is also true with mathematics. Yeah, the children who are interested in numbers, and being interested in something means that you spend more time with it and you get better at it. The children interested in numbers are the children who see their parents working with numbers, mm-hmm. or talking about numbers, or talking about the importance of numbers. Yeah. And they pick up these things at a very young age from their parents, which is later on in life why a lot of children follow their parents into the same professions that their parents do. You know, if your parents are a teacher, you go into teaching. If your father or mother is a business person, you go into business. You just mm-hmm. naturally pick up skills. You know, the parents who do a lot of sport, their children do a lot of sport, and they do more sport than other children, so they get better at it. It's just a mm-hmm. natural way of things. And so there's a fear amongst adults to let children just be themselves. And as I have pointed out 1,000 times, the problems of the world are not created by children. The problems of the world are created by adults. And it's the children who have to manage the problems created by the adults around about them. And sometimes this can have a positive effect. I think mostly it has a negative effect when the adults are not setting good examples. It's very interesting how the different values are set. And if you listen to children carefully, this is so obvious. If you listen to children carefully, they will tell you exactly what they want, exactly how they feel, and exactly what you need to know about what's going on with them. And a lot of the pain that children experience growing up is adults thinking that adults know best. Mm-hmm. Right? Which is in general not true, because adults are put under pressure to conform to the world. And they then apply this pressure on their children from a psychological aspect of, I have to, so you have to, or I had to, so you have to, which doesn't allow anyone really to grow and develop. And we need some guidance with children, but we also need trust. And you can see this in the example of the children's letter to Santa, where the child mm-hmm. writes a letter asking for a specific gift. And when they get that specific gift, it's a manifestation of the dream within themselves for what they really wanted. And that's very powerful for them. And it's also a sign it's a beautiful sign that if you wish hard enough, that your dreams can come true. Mm. There needs to be some action involved in it as well. But everything begins with an idea for something. And if children get experience of the idea manifesting itself, then it gives them great courage and confidence to do more of that in the future, rather than suffer the dejection of receiving a gift that you don't really want, which means that the people around about you don't actually understand you. Mm. Yeah, when you get what you don't want, which I think we've all experienced at some point in our lives, like a birthday, where we get a gift from somebody. And it's like what the hell is this, right? You know, the gift always tells you more about the giver than the receiver, right? Mm-hmm. It always tells you more about the giver than, like, when you get that book that you're never going to read. Yes, you know, it might be a great book, but the person doesn't understand that you're never going to read it. And like, that's my experience from history, where a lot of the times I've received books from people and I've never read the books. They might be good books, but they obviously didn't understand me. that I probably didn't have time to open the book, even though it's a nice book, nice idea. You know, you need to create time before you can create opportunity. There's a logic. I always say to people, look, if you tell me what you want, you'll get it. If you don't tell me what you want, then you'll get what I think you want. And I have enough experience in life to know that what I think that you want and what you actually want are probably two different things, because, you know, that's life, right? You know, when I want a cup of tea, you want a cup of coffee, or, it's when I want to go here, you want to go there. So, you know, my ideas are different from your ideas. So, you know, if you tell me exactly what you want, then you will stand a higher probability of getting that thing. Also, people place different values in things, and I always find this fascinating. And you know, it's really important from a business and a personal perspective. Everybody's value system is different. Yeah. And you know, you can find this in business in terms of marketing. People talk about pleasure points and pain points, and you know, how to communicate with people. But you take a simple example. I take this pen. To somebody, this pen is just a pen. To somebody, this pen is useless. And to somebody, this pen is the best pen that has ever existed in history. And it's the same pen. And I find that absolutely fascinating. That like one person's, you know, they say, well, what hurts one person helps another person. Or one person's junk is another person's treasure. Yeah. I was going through a box of old things in my parents' house, and there were some old CDs that were there that I bought when I was a teenager. And I was thinking that, what do you do with old stuff? You throw it out so that you can get, what do you do with old shit? You throw it out so you can get new shit, right? You could clear out the space so you can put more stuff in the space. And I thought their choices are, number one, I can throw it away, or number two, going by the principle that one person's junk is another person's treasure, you could maybe pass it on to somebody else who really wanted it. So there were a couple of, there were like, let's say 10 CDs. And I thought, okay. And they weren't just average everyday CDs, because when I was a kid, I liked certain music groups, and I used to collect things, and not just albums, like collect singles and special editions of things. So I had a few of these special CDs, and I put them online. I put them on Facebook. I took a picture of them, checked they were okay, put them on Facebook. And I also did that. I did my research. I went onto eBay and I looked at, you know, what are the value of these individual CDs, if anybody else was selling them, and how much they were selling for. And they were selling for from a certain price to a certain price. So I averaged it out and I was like, okay, I got these 10 CDs, old CDs, right? I want £100 for them. First of all, I was going to put them online for like £40. And I was like, no, I'm going to put them online for £100. Yeah, just to see, right? Just to see, as an experiment, right? Mm-hmm. And within 24 hours, I got an offer for £100 for these 10 CDs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things that I could very easily put in the bin. I could put them in the trash. I could very easily, just throw them out. And I find it fascinating that the values systems that people have, mm-hmm. where to somebody, these all things that have been in a box and have really no value to me. They're gonna have like personal sentimental value, but I can let it go because you know you can't hold everything forever, right? These things that are useless to me have incredible value for other people. And they're running to give me their money so they can get this stuff.
Mm.
This person drove for an hour and a half to get to me, to give me their money, to then drive an hour and a half back home.
Mm.
Maybe I'm strange. Sometimes I am. But I find this whole concept really, really hard to process in my own head because I always look for systems and methods and understanding the process of things. And I find this process extremely random. Right? The fact that you can open a box and find old stuff and take some pictures of it and put it online and somebody somewhere will love it. And what will they do with it? They'll take it home and they'll put it on a shelf and it'll stay on the shelf.
Mm.
Every now and then you get to find something which has more value or something which appreciates in value, but not many things really do that. Most things depreciate in value over time. Just use and wear and tear.
Mm.
There are most of the things that go up in value are things with real human element in it, things that are highly individual and really specifically unique.
Mm-hmm.
I just find the whole concept of how different people view the same thing with different value extremely different. And then if you apply that into business, you've got to be extremely careful never to put your own values on something.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you place your own values on something, you miss the point. Because what is the only thing that matters in business is how much somebody else values something. It's the only thing that matters. Your own perspective is completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. You've got to, because it's connected with your own personality and your own ego. And and if you're going to be successful in business, you've got to completely put that to one side. In the long term, you can survive mm-hmm. with it in the short term and do anything. But in the long term, you've got to put it to one side and realize that as an individual in business, you are there to perform a function and a role, and how you feel about it is completely irrelevant, which is a strong conversation that I've had with a lot of people where somebody has asked me, how do you feel about it? And I've said, my feelings are irrelevant. And very often they are. And it's completely irrelevant how I feel about it. In fact, I don't even really know how I feel about it because I haven't thought about it because it's a waste of my time and a waste of my energy. Because if I feel good about it or if I feel bad about it, it changes nothing. It changes absolutely nothing. There are some things in life that just have to be done or have to be taken care of or have to be discussed. And attaching an emotional value to it has no great benefit at all. And yes, everything affects us to a certain extent emotionally, but in order to progress, we have to suck it up and get beyond that, right? I mean, when you buy the car, you don't worry about if the person who designed the car was feeling sick or the person who, the factory workers who made the car got sick in the factory. You don't want that to happen, but you don't attach an emotional value to it because you'd never get anywhere if you only attach emotional values to things. which is where society fails at its greatest point at this present moment in time, where if you continually attach emotional values to things, you just become an emotional wreck and you can't actually get anywhere. It's important to know how people feel, but you can't get trapped in a state of only ever feeling, because most people can't control their own emotions. It takes a long time to be able to manage successfully those elements. It's not that you shouldn't feel, it is that you should know when to feel. Yeah, because if you get overcome by the moment, you see it when it happens on the public stage. You see it when people get their awards for winning something. Yeah. These actors come up on stage and they get their awards and they start crying. It's like, it's difficult to not get emotional about those important things. But again, if you're a football player on the park and you're playing in the cup final and you score a goal, you can't start crying. Because the game's not over. You've still got a task to do. You've still got a job to do. You gotta get your job done. And so, the emotions are important, but they're to get things done. You've got to get beyond that and realize that people attach different values to the same things, which is the point. And back, that goes back to kids who get presents, and the parent, the child who is understood by the parent, is a happy child, right? Yeah, and those parents that are not happy are the ones wondering why the child's values are different from their own. But the parents who are happy are the parents who accept the child for being who they are and don't wish too much for the child to be something different or to like something else, because it's a great and difficult gift just to accept people for who they are. And not to, oh my God, this person's got a different opinion from me. They must be wrong. Really? I mean, is that all we've learned? I mean, is there only one right answer to every question? I suggest that there are many right answers to every question. And the answers can change on a daily basis. Last year's great gift might not be suitable for this year, because people grow and evolve and develop. And finding the most difficult gift to give is a gift that lasts over time, right? A lot of gifts are temporary, and people go through transitory phases in life, and something is good for a period of time, but it's really hard to find a gift, and maybe gifts should be for the moment, and that's fine. Buy someone a candle and they light the candle and the candle burns and smells nice and it's great, right? And then the candle's gone. But the great gifts are the ones that are continually used in one way or another, and that can be knowledge or information or something practical. You buy your teenager a computer and it's helpful for them and their lives and the things that they want to do. So